The reading is from the Book of Psalms, chapter 82, beginning at verse 1. A psalm of Asaph. God presides in the great assembly. He renders judgment among the gods. How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. The gods know nothing. They understand nothing. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods. You are all sons of the Most High. But you will die like mere mortals. You will fall like every other ruler. Rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations are your inheritance. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Thanks be to God. Kia mo tonu tana kupu kia tato. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12, beginning at verse 49. Te rongopai tāpu ki te ritenga aruka te tekomarua upoko ka timata whātikoma iwa. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoimiti te kororia ki te aotea. Not peace, but division. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Interpreting the times. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? This is the Gospel of Christ. Te rongopai tēnei a te karaiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoimiti tia ia te kupu mana.
Well, kia ora everybody. How you doing? Good to see you. Thanks, Kendall, for those readings. How are you? It's a little bit chilly this morning, isn't it? I'll just let you know I've got my contact lenses on and I can just about see. Finally, they've come through. And I'm kind of getting there. It takes a bit of getting used to because they're those very focal ones. So, you know, I should be able to read and I should be able to see you. Some of you are a bit blurry, but that might not be my contact lenses. Joke. It's not true. You're all looking wonderful and beautiful and very crisp and, yeah. All right, so this morning, yeah, I've talked a couple of times just recently, let me just say something about the lectionary. The lectionary is the kind of readings that have been set through the year, and they're used by churches all over the world and have been, you know, for years and years and years and years, going way back, but the lectionary readings are wonderful for lots of reasons, but particularly for this reason. Every now and then, you get a gnarly passage, and you're like, oh, please. And even last night, I was like, maybe I'll just change the passage. And I preached on something that I really like, and that's really nice, and I can come to church and say something lovely, and you'll all like me, and all that kind of thing, you know. But that's what's good about the lectionary, is that what it does is it goes through the Bible systematically. I mean, obviously it can't do every verse because we've only got Sunday mornings and that would take, you know, years and years and years. But it does go into every bit of the Bible or through every bit of the Bible, you know, and it gives selections throughout. And particularly, obviously, it goes through each of the Gospels. But it also does all sorts of, you know, other bits of the Bible as well. And so today we get this tricky bit, and I can't avoid it, and nor can you. And but I really like that. It's a reflex, isn't it? I'm still doing it. I can't believe it. I was just like adjusting my glasses so I can see the Bible here. So Jesus, and this is in the middle of this big passage of teaching where it's a lot about repentance and how to live. So he said things, you know, just earlier on in this same bit, in this same chunk of teaching, you know, beware of the Pharisees and stuff like that. You know, they are, and everything that you say in the darkness will be said in the light. And he said things like, blah, blah, blah. Be on your guard against every form of greed. Even when one has an abundance, your life doesn't consist in your possessions. And he tells that parable about the man storing up stuff for himself and saying, I can relax now and rest. And God says to him, you fool, you know, this very night your life will be taken from you. And what's going to happen to all that stuff you stored up? You know, what was the point of that? And so it is with everyone who lays up treasure for themselves but isn't rich towards God who is in heaven. You know, all of those sorts of things. So he's saying all of these things. He's saying life's more than food and seek first the kingdom, blah, blah, blah. You know, all these kind of amazing bits and pieces. And there's all those get ready bits, you know. If you knew at what hour the thief was going to come, you'd be ready, you know, and if the servants and all the things that we've been looking at. And then he comes to this bit and Jesus says, I've come to cast fire on the earth and how I wish it were already kindled, but I have a baptism to undergo. And he's talking about his death and his resurrection and the pouring out of the Spirit and, you know, everything that's going to come. But he's got to go through this death. I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it's accomplished. And then he says these strange words. They sound strange in some ways. Do you suppose, Jesus says, that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you no, but rather division. For from now on, five members in the household will be divided, each against the other, and mother against blah, 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 blah. You know, all of that. And then he says, you know how to analyze, or interpret, analyze is a good translation there. You know how to analyze the sky, you know, and you look at it and you go, oh, it's going to rain tomorrow, blah, 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 all those things. But you don't know how to analyze these times. So what's all this about? First of all, what's it about if Jesus says, I haven't come to bring peace? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Okay, he's the Prince of Peace. Again and again, what does he say? Go, my daughter, you know, and be what? Go in peace. Yeah, you know, and he heals someone and he says, go in peace. Again, you know, again and again throughout Luke's gospel. And we're reading from the Gospel of Luke now. Right at the end of Luke's gospel, he says, my peace I leave you with you, doesn't he? He is the Prince of Peace. So what's going on? He says, but I haven't come to bring peace, but... but rather division, and households will even be divided against each other. Well, one thing that helps make sense of this is recognizing that he's quoting from Micah. In fact, Micah chapter 7. And in Micah, who's one of the Old Testament prophets, Micah's one of those prophets that, you know, I think many of us love. You know, he really speaks out against injustice. He sees stuff, he analyzes the times. He interprets the times and he goes, this is not good, he says. In fact, Micah says, there is not one good among you, he says to the people that he's prophesying to. And he says that all of these things are happening, and I'll read out a couple of them. He says, blah, 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 blah. Can I justify wicked scales and a bag of deceptive weights? You know, people are ripping others off through trade, unfair trade. They're trying to make money in an unjust way. Of course, no one does that today, do they? No. The rich people of the city are full of violence. Her residents speak lies. The city's residents speak lies. Their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. And he says, the godly person has perished from the land, and there is no upright person among them. And then he says, concerning evil, both hands do it well. And the prince asks, also the judge, for a bribe. You know, there's injustice. Justice is not being done in the land. And a great man speaks the desire of his soul, so they weave it together. The best of them is like a briar. And, you know, and he says, and then he says this, Micah says, do not trust in a neighbor. Do not have confidence in a friend. What kind of, you know, horrible situation? What sort of society is he talking about? You can't even trust your friend, he says. From her who lies in your bosom, guard your lips. For son treats father contemptuously. Daughter rises up against her mother. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait patiently for the God of my salvation. My God shall hear me. So he said, and then he says, do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. For though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. And it's this, like, intimations of resurrection here, but and salvation. And he goes on to talk about salvation coming. But do you see, he's analyzing the times. He's describing a society that, and he's saying, wake up, look around you. You can't even trust one another. There's bribes going on, unjust scales. There's trickery. There's deceit. There's deception. There's lies. There's unfair trading. There's all of these things going on. People just, even in their own households, are rising up against each other. This is not good. This is not what the Prince of Peace has come for. And these kinds of divisions are not good. They're a sign of the times. They're a sign that things are not well with the world and that salvation needs to come. So Jesus, when he says this, he's not saying, I'm creating divisions in the sense of, you know, I want there to be division. He's saying, analyze, know the times, see what's going on. There are divisions. And they're not good. There's injustice and it's not good. There's all these things happening and it's not good. But I've come to cast fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I've come to undergo a baptism. I've come to be the one who gives himself to bring redemption and salvation, because boy is it needed. Boy is it needed. And fire is cleansing, isn't it? Fire is cleansing. Fire is also warming. I think we can relate to that right now. Fire is warming and it's cleansing. It's good. The fire of the Holy Spirit, you could say, you know. And when that fire comes, you and I are called by the Prince of Peace to live in his peace. There'll be trouble in the world, Jesus says, but my peace I leave with you. So it's not like these things aren't going to go away. I mean, as in, we need to fight against them. We need to do, every generation needs to do its bit to bring as much truth and justice as it can. But it's not, no generation is going to fix the problem forever, is it? Jesus said, the poor will always be with you. But he didn't say, that means you're off the hook. You can forget about the poor. He spent all his time, nearly all his time with the poor, didn't he? Did he? Yeah. So they're always going to be there, which means we're always going to have to do something about it. Every generation. And no generation is going to fix it. But no generation should just sit back and say, oh, well. Because these things are not good. We, you and I, brothers and sisters, are called to live differently. We are called to be those who repent. And what does repentance mean? Changing our minds, isn't it? It's seeing things differently to the way, you know, it's analysing the times. It's seeing things in God's way, not in the way of the world. The way of the world says it's okay to lie, actually. I mean, look at our, you know, world leaders of the biggest nations. They really think it's okay to just lie, don't they? And it's almost normalising it. So then people feel in their everyday lives or in their businesses, we can lie, we can be unjust, we can dodge this, that and the other and rip these people off and it's okay. We can, you know, make a bit of money. You know, it's what they do, the great men. But we're called to be different. We're called to analyse the times. We're called to see things, to live differently and to see things differently. And that will create trouble for us, won't it? I mean, imagine if you're trying to do things differently with your... Jesus talks more about money pretty much than anything else except the kingdom of God. Isn't that interesting? If we did things differently, imagine, with our money. And I need to say this to myself. If we treated others differently to the way the world treats them, it's going to cause trouble for us. It's going to be awkward. And maybe those divisions, we'll experience them in our own lives. But it's not that Jesus wants us to be a divided society or a divided church. But he does want us to live differently, doesn't he? In a moment, in the next moment, Jesus says, in the next bit of the passage, he's speaking to people who think but we're okay. We're all right, you know. I was just remembering that Adam Ant song. I think it was Adam Ant. Don't drink, don't smoke, what do you do? Do you remember that? I don't know if that was ever big over. It's about this person, you know, and it's like, don't drink. Anyway, it's not what it even sounds like. But you know, we can sometimes think that we're all right because I don't drink, I don't smoke, or whatever. You know, I can't say both of those things are true for me. One is. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't do that. You know, don't dance was one of the things that, you know, some churches used to say, you know. And still do, some of them. And those things are supposed to be the markers that we are different, right? And then we tick those boxes. Okay, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't dance. So I'm all right, you know. And then straight away we're the Pharisee. Lord, thank you that I'm not like those sinners. You know, I don't drink, I don't dance, I don't smoke. And I give my tithes and I do this, that and the other. And Jesus says, that man does not go home righteous. The one that does is the one that's beating their chest and going, Lord, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. So much so that they can't even come into the church or the temple. Yeah. So Jesus says in a moment, do you suppose those Galileans, you know, who on whom the tower fell were worse sinners than you? No. I tell you, no, he says. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. The Tower of Siloam and the Galileans were the ones who had their blood spilt. There's two incidents, he says. You know, do you think you're less sinners than them? Yeah, no. But unless you repent. So this whole passage, I think, is Jesus calling us to that kind of lifestyle repentance. That doesn't just tick the boxes, because Jesus again and again goes, it's more than that. I mean, it's not wrong to, you know, to look, obviously, about, you know, don't drink, don't smoke, don't dance, whatever. I mean, those, you know, we might debate which ones of those are good and blah, blah, blah. Personally, I think dancing's okay, but, you know, might cause a bit of division there. But the thing is, Jesus doesn't really talk about dancing, does he? But he does talk about, like I say, more than anything else, what we do with our money, which is not something that we talk about in church, not something that I talk about in church. He also talks about how we talk about people and what our attitudes are to one another and judging others. All those kind of inner things And we can think, oh yeah, I've done this, done that. But what? Just this morning, as I was looking at what comes next in the passage, I got one of those, you know, cut to the heart moments. I was like, oh my gosh, that's me. Because right after saying, do you know how to analyze the times, he says, then he goes, while you are still going with your opponent to appear before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with them in order that they may not drag you before the judge and the judge turn you over to the constable and the constable throw you into prison. I say to you, you shall not get out until you've paid the very last cent. So he's like, you just divided, you know, it's another division. You take this person to court, be careful. The judge might put you in prison. And just at that moment, you know, he said, be reconciled to that person before you get to the judge. And I thought, well, what about, you know, people that have hurt me? And I know I need, I've been crying out for justice. You know, I've been like, Lord, give me justice. Give me justice with my adversary, which is a good prayer to pray. You know, Jesus said. However, there's another prayer that goes with it, and it's this one. And it's, oh my goodness, Lord, spare me justice. Please, because I've done things. What if I get before the throne of God and God's, you know, God will talk to that person about their stuff. It's none of my business, actually, because he's going to talk to me about my stuff. What did I do towards that person? What was my attitude towards that person? What things did I actually do that wound them up and made it worse for me? Or, you know, I'm not going to say anymore, but you know what I mean? What? Those are the things that I'm going to answer for before the throne of God. And I suddenly thought, oh Lord, I've been judging them. I've been judging them so much and asking for justice as if I'm the one in the right and they're the one in the wrong. And it's actually none of my business as to whether they're right or wrong. That's between them and you. But it is my business, the things that I've done wrong, and I've done wrong. And I was cut, you know, I had that, one of those, forgive me for sharing personally, but I had one of those cut to the heart moments, you know? And I thought, golly, I've got to get right. I've got to be good, right, sweet with my Lord, you know? And that will mean that I'm living differently. Yeah, outward things as well, of course, but the inward things are the things that Jesus, because it's from the heart that come all those bad things, actually. You know, we've got to get our hearts right. And that will mean some division in households as well. When we're living well for the Lord, sometimes that's going to put people's backs up around us. But it shouldn't be that we're putting people's backs up for the wrong reasons. Do you know what I mean? Because we're being a bit holier than thou or a bit whatever. Does that make sense? Okay, so I hope that's okay. So we're talking about repentance here and we're talking about living right with God. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And he says, my peace I leave with you. And I'll just quote from John, because this feels like a sort of key. I think sometimes John seems to me kind of fills in the gaps or goes a bit deeper. And we've been reading from one of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then John sometimes just unlocks it and goes by going a little bit deeper. And so he says, Jesus says to the disciples in John chapter 16, verse 33, these things I've spoken to you. I've told you all this stuff so that in me you may have peace. So that in me you may have peace. And he says, in the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. All right. I've told you all this stuff, all these things are going to happen because so that you may have peace in me, you may have peace. And we have peace in the Prince of Peace. And he says, you're going to have trouble in the world. But take courage. because I've overcome the world. In me you will have peace. Christ is our peace. There's peace to be found nowhere else, really, is there? But in Christ. And in Christ we find peace. There are divisions in the world. And it's not a good thing. But where we're called to live differently, sometimes that'll cause us trouble. And there'll be a bit of division. But we won't have made that division. In the sense that, you know, we're trying to wind people up. We're not. We're trying to live at peace. As far as it is possible, Paul says, live at peace with all men. Doesn't he? You know, as far as it is possible, live at peace with all people. So that's what we should be doing. But we're not going to find it in this world. We will find it in Jesus. Even while there's trouble going on around us. Yippee, is this fun? Is this good? Is this a good message? Are you all right? I'll say one last thing, and that is, I just wanted to say, because we looked at divisions over the last couple of weeks, and we talked, didn't we, about those kind of conspiracy theories that are flying around on the internet and everything, and that cause so much division, where people get locked into and go down this rabbit hole of this way of thinking that is slightly nuts. There's always a bit of truth in it. If there wasn't enough truth in it, no one would get hooked. But then it goes way overboard. And it's not about, particularly if it's a Christian conspiracy theory, it's not about Jesus anymore, actually. It's all about this thing that's right or wrong or whatever, and you have to agree with me 100%, or otherwise you're 100% wrong, you know? That's the way it goes. Those kinds of divisions are no good at all, especially in the church. And so I just want to read from what Paul says. And this is a different word in the Greek that Paul uses to the word that Jesus is talking about here. So Jesus talks about divisions, which are kind of like dividings, as it were. Paul uses the word schisms. And he says schisms, that's where bits of the church break up and fight against each other, are no good. So Paul says here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, yeah, he goes, now I exhort you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus, that you all agree and there be no divisions among you, but you, then that's schisms among you, but you be made complete in the same mind and the same judgment. For I've been informed concerning you, my brothers and sisters, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now, I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, you know, I'm of Apollos. You know, I belong to this group, and I agree with that person. I agree with this person. Now, has anyone ever noticed that happening anywhere in the church? Wait for this. The last one Paul says is, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I am of Christ. They're the really holy ones, eh? I'm of Christ. Of course, we all need to be of Christ. And he says in the next verse, has Christ been divided? What's this schism stuff among you? It's no good. Yeah. And then in chapter, and I say this because I know it's one of the easiest ways to get a small group of followers is to set yourself up as some kind of little party against others. The Cephas party, or the Apollos party, or the Paul party, or the real Jesus party, not the false Jesus party. You know what I mean? Forgive me, I'm sort of saying all this just because I see it, and it really saddens me, it grieves me in the church. So Paul, in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, says this, but in giving you this instruction, and it's verse 17, I don't praise you because you come together not for the better but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you. And in part, I believe it. So, you know, those schisms, those kind of factions that he's talking about, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas. You know, it's no good, says Paul. And then he says this, therefore, when you meet together, Oh, he does say there must also be factions. And there he means heresies or choices. That word is choices. You've got to choose, and there will, you know, it'll mean that some of you are choosing one thing and some of you are choosing another thing. But even that can't divide you, because he says, therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper, he's saying. You think you're getting together for the Lord's Supper, but you're not. Because each one of you, you know, some of you eat, stuff yourself silly, and some of you get hungry, and some of you are drunk, and, you know, and you're not living together. Do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I shall not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And then he says that, for we who are many are one body. We are one body. Why? Because we all share the one bread. We need to be one body. So in the church, there should not be divisions. There should not be schisms. And I think there's even a false theology out there that says it's a good thing to have schisms sometimes, because we're the real right party, we're the real pure party, we're the real ones, you know. But Paul's saying, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. And again, throughout the history of the church, there have been divisions, but it just causes problems. Is Christ divided? Paul asks. Is Christ divided? No. And I tell you, there are brothers and sisters here amongst us, and I know it to be true, and I think we all know it, who are way more holy than me, more godly than me, who disagree on some of the issues that churches split about. One's on one side, one's on the other side of that argument, whatever that argument is. Can you think of any arguments that Christians have? Any things they fall out over? I know for a fact that there are people that are more godly than me, that love Jesus more than I do, and who are more humble than I am, on both sides there. In our church, it's not about the rabbit holes. They're not unimportant. They are important. And when we get to heaven, we'll find out who was right and who was wrong. But it won't be the most important. It won't be the thing that got you or me or anyone into heaven. Knowing Jesus is what gets us into heaven, isn't it? And I know people on both sides of many arguments that Christians have, who love the Lord more than me, who know Jesus. Maybe one of them's right and the other one's wrong. And maybe on another issue, the same one that was right on the first issue is wrong on the second, and the other one's right. What you going to do then? But they both know Jesus. Thank goodness we don't have to do an exam when we get into heaven. Did you get this one right? Oh, no, you got that one wrong. But you got that one right. But, ooh, they're still important issues. They really are, and they matter how we live and what we believe. But the most important thing is knowing Christ, who is our Prince of Peace. And knowing him will mean some trouble in this world, will mean some divisions. But knowing him will also mean peace, and it will mean living at peace with our brothers and sisters, not being schismatic, but being together, one, because we all share the one bread. Brothers and sisters, let's be one. Let's repent where we need to. Let's forgive people where we need to. And that's a hard one, and sometimes it'll only fully happen in heaven because of the things that have been done to us, but that's okay. Let's love and let's be one. Let's not create divisions. I'm just going to say a little aside that's been on my mind, and that is this. We're not going to create divisions, okay? If divisions happen, it's because it should be because we're just living well, godly, and someone's got annoyed with that, all right? But I hear sometimes, we hear Christians, don't we, saying things like, I stand for the truth, I stand for the gospel, and those people, they call themselves Christians, but they don't believe the same things I do 100%, and so therefore, on this issue particularly, they are not Christians and I am. I am the true Christian and everyone who's with me is the true church. And I'm not creating divisions. They are. That's the lie. And I'm not putting up with it. Forgive me. Being a bit. But that is a lie. I'm not creating divisions. They are. I'm not the one separating. They are. Because they have separated themselves from the gospel and I have the gospel. Have you heard that? No, it's not true, brothers and sisters. They're the ones creating the division. I am of Cephas. I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? No. Can Christ put up with the fact that not all of us are 100% correct all of the time in our theology? Yes, he can. Is anyone here 100% correct on all of their theology? Of course not. We're not, are we? So don't let people kid us when they say, I'm not creating the division. They are. They're the ones that left the gospel. I've stayed, you know. Is that okay? We're not the ones that should be creating divisions. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The church is one. Christ is one. Christ can't be divided. These issues that we disagree on are important issues. Some of us are going to be right and some of us are going to be wrong. But it means we're all still in the church. We're all still Christ's. Because it's Christ that is our peace. So this, we live in a divided society. And that's kind of the last one in the division series that that I discover we've been doing. It might not be the last one. These are divided times, but we want to live as Christ's people in these divided times, don't we? And I hope that helps. So let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are not divided. We thank you that you say those who are not against us are for us, and we should let them alone and not try and make out they're, you know, not on our side. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're not into schisms at all. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you call us, as the Prince of Peace, you call us into your peace, into reconciliation with you and with our brothers and sisters around us. We thank you that you don't accept us based on an exam on whether we've got all our facts right, but that you accept us based on whether we know you. And Lord Jesus, forgive us for our divisions. And we live in such an angry world and divided world. So we're going to have some trouble, some tribulations. And we may find even members of our own households against us. But Lord Jesus, we want to be those who love you, who know you, who are seeking to know you better and better, who are repenting all the time of the things where we realize all the time I thought this was the case and actually I was wrong. Lord, help us to, like me this morning, Lord, thank you where you show us those things, where we've been blinkered, where we've been judging others harshly, or whatever it is. Lord Jesus, we pray that we'd be those who live for you, who live in your peace, who seek reconciliation between this world and you, and, you know, between each other. who love one another. And by that love, all people will know that we are your disciples. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Amen.